Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Blog Talk Radio Syndicated News. And tonight, as a guest, we're going to be visited by none other than Will Price, the CEO of WidgetBox. In the meanwhile, we had been promising to play Lady by the Sea with lyrics, and we're going to do that this evening while we wait for our invited guest. Lovely rendition of Lady by the Sea, and we have our guest here. Is that Will Price?
Yes, it is. Hi, how are you?
Welcome to Syndicated News. It's so nice to have you here.
It's a pleasure. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
And widgets. My gosh, widgets. I've been playing with them now recently and learning how they work. They're brilliant. They do 5, 6, and 7 little things in a tiny little spot. It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's one of the real trends of the web, I think, and people are choosing to want to consume services and content in places that they choose, and the way they do that is to take the best of the web with them and put it where they want it. And what we're seeing now is people can take weather feeds, news feeds, YouTube videos, you name it, consume it via the widget phenomena. And so Widgetbox is definitely a proud part of that trend in helping. Some people call it the atomization of the web. So you take an entire web page, break it up into its various pieces, and allow users to take the pieces that are most relevant to them, but also, more importantly, then consume those pieces wherever they choose. And that's something that's pretty powerful. All the big media companies and brands and individuals themselves are realizing the power of what some people are calling social syndication. In other words, content's being syndicated, but it's being driven by social mechanisms and by people, and it's pretty cool.
My gosh. And exactly. Now, exactly what is a tiny little web widget? When we're talking about a web widget, what is that?
Sure.
For the typical person, if they don't know what it is. Most people don't know what a widget is.
Yeah, absolutely. A web widget is simply a web application that is portable, i.e. that a consumer can and use it anywhere on the web. And if you've used My Yahoo, for example, and you set up your My Yahoo page, you can get your news feeds from Reuters. You can get a little side panel of your stock quotes and what have you. Those are all little web modules that are essentially the same thing as a widget. It's a configurable, small piece of web application. The big difference with what it's historically been, like, for example, your stock portfolio on your AOL or Yahoo page, and that you're no longer bound to use that piece of functionality on that company's site. You can interact with it now and take it where you'd like. And so you can take widgets, put them on your MySpace page, your Facebook page, your iGoogle page, anywhere you like. And so the big thing about it is that, again, that users are really – it used to be, for example, that an AOL product manager would tell you, hey, on this page, here's the following things that are going to be on this page. And that's the same page that everyone's going to see on the web. And then MyYahoo came along and said, okay, actually what we want users to be able to do is pick the types of news they want to read about, where they live, so they can get weather that's germane to them, what stocks they actually own, and let them build their own pages. And what widgets are allowing you to do is to go one step further and say, not only do I want to define what I want, I also now want to define where I want it. And that portability of that piece of software is the widget phenomena. You can now take the things that you've defined as important to you and consume them where you'd like to consume them.
Oh, I see that you're featured on the front page of Blog Talk Radio. I'm very impressed.
Well,
I hadn't noticed.
Yeah, it's a total pleasure to be there. And
nice.
It's very cool. So,
was that your idea with the little robot?
You know, we had three founders, and that was one of the logos they came up with from the very beginning. It's become a little bit of our icon. So,
adorable.
Yeah, it's cute, very cute.
That's adorable. Okay, and now, why do these widgets matter? Only because of the portability, because the things that they – I mean, I remember we used to try to get an instant message I would say a Java applet onto a website. Now,
mm-hmm.
The one, like the Meebo,
yeah,
that one encompasses everything. It's similar to Trillion, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it really is. And so I think there's a couple of reasons they matter. The first thing is, you know, Starbucks made a fortune in taking advantage of this concept of the third place. And what they meant by that was that you went to work, you went home, and then you had a third place in the world, a place where you could go and you went there all the time. And the web is like that now. We're all picking our third place. For some people, it's Facebook. That's where they're going to spend all their time on the web outside of their work job. Maybe others, it's MySpace, or maybe it's someone's blog, or maybe it's Blog Talk Radio for others. And what brands are starting to recognize is that users are no longer willing to visit your site. They're too busy in their third place, the place they've chosen that's their home on the web. And they want to spend time with their friends and their peers on that chosen place. And, again, it could be a blog, a social network, or their own website. the expectation is now that rather than having to come to you, you have to come to them. And it's not that your application doesn't matter anymore. It's just that it matters more of being in the context of their choosing. And so the first thing is that we have this great expression we like to use where you have to fish where the fish are. So if you're a brand or a service provider or an advertiser or a company, and this third place phenomenon is happening where all of a sudden people are just spending all this time in Facebook or in Meebo chat rooms or what have you, you have two choices. One, you can spend even more money on your web marketing campaign to try to get people out of that third place and back to your site. Or you can ask yourself, well, how do I take my site and get it to that third place? Or all the third places that are out there where people are saying, here's my home on the web. I want you to interact with me here. That's the first thing. The second thing is that when companies build web services, and these are the powerful ways where you can send a query to eBay and say, hey, tell me how much an Xbox costs, or Amazon, I want to know what's the next book's coming out by my favorite author. All the sites spend a lot of money building services that allow you to query their back end, but it required you to be a developer in order to take advantage of them. You have to know how to write code to an API, write scripts or what have you, understanding all those technology implications. Widgets are the lowest common denominator mechanism by which users can invoke very sophisticated back end services with limited, hardly any technology knowledge required. So you or I can build a widget that says, for example, I want to know everything on eBay that's for sale related to this topic, or I want all the Flickr pictures that are about fly fishing in British Columbia, or I want to know travel ticket prices at such and such a place. It wasn't too long ago that getting that kind of information out of a computer system would have required complex technology knowledge and probably a couple weeks' worth of development. Today, not only have you picked your place on the web where you want to stay, from that place, without leaving it, you can invoke very complex and powerful services through these simple technologies. And so it's that combination, I think, of being able to leverage all the investments the web has made in terms of services and back-end technology, plus the self-expression or the fulfillment people get out of defining their own web experience. Those two things come together in the form of a widget.
My gosh, I was playing with one yesterday, and I say Meebo specifically because that's the one I was playing with. And the very first thing I wanted to do is I wanted to customize it. I wanted to make it thinner. I wanted to make it shorter. And I think that the ability to do that and still have it function is unbelievably fascinating and interesting. I think people will want to play with them simply because they can modify them and customize them that way.
Definitely, you're right. I mean, it used to be, again, you probably need some degree of coding knowledge to be able to do that in the past, and now you can just say, hey, I want it to be this width, this length, I want it to be this color, I want, you know, this type of pictures in there, I want a slideshow of this and that nature. And so it's becoming more of a point-and-click experience to build out pretty complex web applications. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Meebo is a great example, I think, of a technology company that realized, hey, you know, people want to use web and the browser to have communication experiences. And then they want to set up their own rooms where people can talk about similar topics, and it just made it really simple and really easy to use. And one of the cool things about the web is that by focusing on simplicity and the kind of ubiquitous access, the web allows you to, you know, everything's just browser accessible, no downloaded software. It just lowers the barriers to people to get into this stuff and to enjoy it and have it be relevant for their lives. And one of the reasons that, you know, Widgetbox in our mind is cool is that we have 70,000 different widgets on our site.
How many?
70,000. And those 70,000 widgets have been seen by 70,000 widgets have been seen by over 55 million people in the last 30 days. And so what's really cool is that you can find whatever your interest is on the web. Whether it's sports, news, entertainment, weather, games, technology, learning, education, you can find a piece of content that's either you can create that's of your own creation or something that someone else has created that's really, really speaks to you and your experience, and you can put that on your page very simply without knowing any technology, really. If you can open up a browser, send an email using a Gmail account, you can do this. And it's that kind of that breadth of choice. The fact that it really speaks to people's own interests and passions, and the fact that they can do it, I think it explains why they become so popular. And you asked me why widgets matter, and one of the other things I'd point out to you is that Comscore, which is one of the big web analyst firms, estimated that about 680 million, that's 680 million people as of May had used the widget on the web. And so that's 65% of the total internet audience. And so while people may not know what a widget is, if you ask them at a party, hey, what's a web widget, they may not be able to explain it to you. They do know that they have this little thing that tells them the weather or when the next movie is, or it's got Flickr pictures of their, you know, of something they're really passionate about. And so the other reason they matter is that they're becoming a everyday use case for people on the web. And at the same time, while this adoption is taking off so quickly, as I said before, people are spending all this time on their blogs and social networks and things like that. They're not going back to what corporate America is all about, which is Coca-Cola.com, Ford.com. And so the big challenge for the industry is how do you stay relevant as a brand, as an advertising agency, as a service provider, as a product vendor, in this new world where people can define their own experience and then and live in their own little places. And so what's happening, I think, is widgets are a way of reaching out and saying to people, hey, we want to add to your experience, give you something cool for your site, but allow our brand message to come with it and things like that. So the next wave of widgets will be to continue to deepen the utility for everybody out there so they're easier to use and more compelling. And at the same time, I think you'll probably see more brands take advantage of widgets to be able to reach people where they can't reach them today.
Well, I was just looking at, I was going page by page throughout Blog Talk Radio, and I was thinking, I'm looking at everyone's website, and then I go to the next one, and all these different topics. There's health, there's science, there's business, there's music. And I was thinking, yeah, a widget could go right there, and a widget could go over here, and three widgets could go right here, and we need two more on this site. And I was just, it was mind-boggling how many places I found for your widgets on Blog Talk Radio pages.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I'll tell you, we've been not even in production 2 years. We started, really launched the company publicly in September of 2006. We've already served widgets onto over 1 million different domains, and Blog Talk Radio would be one, Facebook would be one, MySpace.com would be one. So there's 1 million different websites out on the web that have already decided, you know what, we can enrich our site and make our users have a more interesting experience by coming here, by adding web widgets. And so the numbers are pretty staggering, and yet it's still just a drop in the bucket to the total web. So I think we're really at the leading edge of this curve. And what's really neat about it too is like, you know how, you know, back in the day you used to have a webmaster and you needed to really know a lot about HTML, and it was kind of painful using FTP clients to move, you know, images around, this constant progression of making things easier and easier and easier to consume is opening up more and more people to the web to not just be viewers of content, but also creators of content. That's also one of the cool things that we think widgets allow. So back in the day, you know, there was maybe for every one person who was creating content on the web, there were hundreds who would look at it. But now more and more are becoming not just viewers, but also participants in the creation of that content, whether it's, you know, a podcast or a blog or creating a widget or a slideshow or putting something on YouTube. And so that culture of participation is really fascinating because technology boundaries are lessening. As those lessen, more people can create and become part of it. And then there's this real phenomenon we see is that people are very proud of the work they do and the things they want to share with everyone. And when you offer them...
Absolutely.
Yeah, and when you offer them tools to be able to take part of that, you get this huge power of everyone not just passionately promoting things that they care about. It just so happens that widgets are part of that. It's that they're self-creation. They can be a way of expressing yourself, and they're very simple. So the combination of being expressive and simple makes them very powerful.
And widget box, I mean, who came up with that?
Well,
is that a small little company that started growing, or is this yours alone, or is this a team effort? Or are you a group of brainiacs who got together and came up with, let's make it a free service?
Yeah,
how did that come about?
That's a great question. So there were three founders originally.
Who
I'm not one of them. Ed Anuff, Giles Goodwin and Dean Moses, and they were all at a company.
I remember in the New York Times when they brought you on, I caught my interest.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you saw that. So they were at a company called Epicentric, and Epicentric was a very successful software company that helped build.
What did they make? Strictly software, or?
Yeah, they made corporate portals. So imagine you were working in a manufacturing company, and you had 12 different applications you had to interact with in order to do your job. The genius of that idea was, why don't we build a single web browser application that there's 12 different widgets in the browser. Each widget is giving you what you need to know out of all 12 of those applications. So it was called a composite application. It was a composite app derived from all these multiple backends, but it allowed you to quickly get everything you needed without having to go to each place in order to find out what you wanted. And they had this epiphany, which after the company was bought by Vignette, that said, hey, we just did that for the enterprise. Why don't we do the same thing for the web? Why don't we allow users to take the best of every application on the web and consume it in a single environment, and so they don't have to alt-tab or browse all over the place to find what they want. Let's bring all those things to them. And so they started the company in early 2006. We've been funded by some of the world's best investors in technology, Sequoia Capital.
Let's talk about that. I am so impressed. Sequoia?
Yeah. Hummer Winblad.
Come on. Don't be humble now. I want to hear these names.
Yeah, so Sequoia is an investor in us, and they were, you know, of course, investors in Google and Yahoo and a bunch of others. Hummer Winblad, where I used to be a partner. And then we have the most recent firm that's come in is a firm called MCD Investors, which are another great group. So we're now a well-funded company. We have 25 people, so it's certainly a team effort. We're based in San Francisco, and we're growing very quickly. So as I said before, we have about 55 million unique visitors who've seen our widgets last month. What's interesting about that, though, and this is one of the things I love about the internet, that's comprised of over 180 different countries. So only 42% of those people live in the United States. The rest of them live all over the world, which is really cool. So this is a global phenomenon. We have 70,000 widgets, as I said, who've been made. Those have all been made by roughly about 68,000 different people. And then, you know, as I said, about 1 million domains have served a widget onto them. So in very quick time, we've become a core part of not everybody, but a significant number of people's web experience. And I think that's because we, as I said before, we allow for this kind of self-expression, this utility, and this convenience that really resonates with people. So, it's been really fun, and it's testament to the founder's vision when they started the company that said, hey, you make things convenient, easy, consumable, you'll do well.
Now, I was noticing in WidgetBox last night that there were contributions from Holland and Japan and Germany, and they had individual widget makers. I mean, these are individual artists and widget creators that they're just building their own and submitting them?
Yeah, exactly. About 99% of the widgets in our system are built by third parties, and these are both high-end developers. For example, Apple has built widgets that are in our system, all the way down to people like me and you, just individuals, some with technology experience and some without. And, what's neat for me is that I see widgets that come in from, you know, from Vietnam, from Holland, from Italy, from all over the world, from China. The way our demographics break down are also pretty interesting. We're almost a complete composite of the web at large. We have 50% male, 50% female. 37% of our users are 18 to 34, 30% are 35 to 49. 42% in the United States and 48% in the rest of the world. So we have a really nice, even balance across the web. You're right. So most people who create widgets in our system are not WidgetBox employees, the vast majority, and they do it for all kinds of reasons. Some are brands and companies who want to reach users across the web and syndicate their content, and others do it because they're passionate about a specific topic, and that could be, diabetes, it could be soccer, it could be art, and they use widgets as a way of continuing to propagate that message. So it's a really broad group who do that.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because we just did a diabetes roundtable, And it was amazing to us, the amount of information and the collection of people involved in just that one condition alone. And I didn't know that we could actually monitor the news, I guess, and the material that's coming onto the Internet related to diabetes with a widget.
Yeah, no, it's really neat. So we have a partnership with a company called the Healthcare Network, and the Healthcare Network is a network of experts in various medical conditions. And one of a popular widget we have is a diabetes widget written by this healthcare expert. And you know, as you can imagine,
We've got to have it. We need it. Absolutely, we need that widget.
Okay, well,
We just did a diabetes roundtable, and we found out that we have to do two or three more because it wasn't enough. And it doesn't matter, you know, it wasn't enough. All the information that was distributed and shared that evening, and we need to do it again because there were so many other aspects of nutrition and comfort and things related to, you know, the management of diabetes and such. I didn't know there was a widget for that.
Yeah, for your users, if you do a Google search and you just type diabetes widget, two words.
Oh, we will.
The first result is...
Diabetes widget? I had no idea.
Yeah, the first widget, the first result in Google is for a widget box widget written by a man named David Mendoza.
Uh-huh.
And David is a medical writer who was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
And since his diagnosis, has become a vocal advocate for diabetes awareness and education. And he's well published author now and has a widget and widget box, and it's quite popular. So that's an example.
Do you know Mr. Mendoza personally?
No, he comes to us through our partnership with the Healthcare Network.
We've got to find the Healthcare Network. What's their website address?
I think it's thcn.com.
That's important because we handle a lot of we're going to be doing a lot of shows that deal with healthcare because our audience tends to be a little more mature than your usual 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, and now 80s as well, and they happen to be comfortable. So they are looking for any information that they can find easily. But if we could have a widget box on our – oh, we will have it. We will go get it, and we will have that on our webpage so we can have information. What else do you have? Do you have widget box for diabetes? What else do you have? Any other healthcare-related widgets?
I think we have a widget for many, many different conditions, prostate, you know, stop smoking, you know, obesity help, allergy work, you know, schizophrenia. I mean, we have a lot of – and the reason for that is that whatever can be written in a blog that has an RSS feed associated with it or anything that can be turned into a widget very simply using our system. So many, many bloggers who write, for example, the guy I just described who wrote the diabetes widget, writes a blog. So David Mendoza's blog is quickly turned into a widget. And then what happens is because it's, again, like Google finds us so easily because we have so many pages and so many people on the web using us, that widget's quickly discovered, and then people who want to follow a disease condition can do so. So another one we have is one from a guy named Dr. Bill Quick, also about diabetes. So that's one of the cool things about our site is that, you know, we're not editorialists. We don't say, hey, we want widgets about diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
What we are is a reflection of what people are interested in on the web. And people are interested in things that matter to them. And certainly if you have a disease, you know, it matters to you. And so everything that's on our site, whether it's related to religion, health, finance, all those things are topically relevant to people. And what WidgetBox allows those people to do is create widgets that speak to that topic and then share them with the world. And so that's kind of why I think another reason why I think we're doing pretty well.
Our audience tends to be very conservative in nature, and they like their comforts. They like their creature comforts, and they want to be treated extremely well. What can I find for them in terms of luxury? Because they ask me for that all the time. They want to know who's doing what. You know, they want information on, say, Fisher Travel Agency in New York City because he takes people by the hand and gives them the absolute best in travel, and they wanted to hear from a gentleman from Florida who's very involved in, he's called the Millionaire Concierge, and they're very involved in taking a person anywhere in the world Can I find widgets related to that type of lifestyle for them?
It's funny. All I did is go to Google. I typed in luxury space widget, and the first result again in Google is something called it's a widget box widget called the luxury travel butler, and it's written by someone who is it's designed for discerning travelers worldwide, whose prime aim when traveling is to experience only the very best. They focus on the ultimate accommodation, the world's most exclusive destinations, and top deluxe experiences infused with style. So the answer is yes. Anything.
Do you hear that, audience? We're going to have a widget this week just for you on that topic.
Yeah, so that's really, you know, basically, again, I had no idea. These are not canned questions, so I had no idea that you were going to ask me that. But, again, I could just go type in something widget, you know, whatever the topic is you're interested in, and I would – that will have something that will be topically relevant. And what's really cool about the fact that it's a widget is then you can take it and you could easily put it on your Blog Talk Radio page, or anyone who's listening could put it on their pages. And then every time that there was a new article written by this luxury travel expert or this medical condition expert, you know, the content's going to find them. They don't have to remember where it was or then go back to that certain web page to see it again. It's going to be wherever you want
that.
It to be.
They're accustomed to having everything done for them. They don't want to have to go search for. They want me to put it on the page. They want to come and look on the page when they look and find it all there. And they know they deserve it if that's what they're accustomed to, and that's my audience.
Yeah.
If they want, you know, balloons, I'm going to get them balloons. It's you know, I'm going to make them happy.
I think that's good. You have to. That's right. Yeah. No, it's good. And widgets, as I said before, convenience is part of what they allow. Yeah, you know, I'm not sure how many of your listeners use iGoogle or other start pages like NetVibes, but we have a lot of our widgets available if you use iGoogle as your home on the web or NetVibes. And so one of the fun things is once you've found this, we make it pretty easy for you to take it where you'd like it to go. So it's cool. No, that's great. I'm glad your audience would be interested in that.
Yeah. Now, this is strictly cut and paste. Or how much technology and how much technological background does an individual need in order to use a widget?
Okay, so that's a great question. So if you're using Facebook, MySpace, Blogger, Typepad, WordPress, in other words, if you're using some of the major sites on the web to host your content, no cut and pasting is required. You just pick the logo, which represents where your content is or where your blog is, push that button, and then we'll programmatically get it embedded on your site. If you have your own page, you're running your own site, so like my name's Will, so will.com, and I have I'm not using a blogging platform, I wrote my own stuff, then you'd have to do some cut and pasting. But what we try to do is we try to eliminate the need to touch any code if possible. So if you're using one of the web's major platforms, like Google, and soon Yahoo's about to open up, you can just click on the icon that you recognize where you want it to put it, and we can walk you through the process of doing that. So it's designed to be pretty easy, but if you have your own independent site, for example, it's somewhat, not much, but a little more complicated. So the good news is for most of our users, they're on a major platform. If they're bloggers, they're either using WordPress, Typepad, or Blogger, six apart. And if they're in a social network, we know where they are. And if they're in a website builder, we've tried to integrate with them. So our job is to integrate with more and more of these platforms to make it easier and easier for you to take your content.
Now, is there going to be, or maybe it exists already, Blog Talk Radio has a wonderful system wherein they have training every day at 1. And by the way, sadly and embarrassingly, I've missed both because we were caught out in traffic trying to get back to town. But they have this opportunity so that if you need to hone in your skills and work on your management of the switchboard or the system at all, you can go and take this class and sit with the person and they walk you through it. And I hear it's extremely advantageous, and yes, I'm going to one this week as well. And
oh, cool.
Do you have that? Do you have a widget box class for people like me? For instance, a kid now grabs a cell phone, and they start texting, you know, with the two thumbs and a couple fingers in a matter of seconds. And the other kid across the street is doing exactly the same thing, and their fingers look mechanical. I'm 55, and my audience is my age and older. Now, we're using one finger. Let's see now. That's C for A. Where's C? And the A, where's the A again? Oh, it's right there. Now, where's L? And that's how, same thing with the phone. Same thing with the, we haven't programmed our VCR in 30 years.
Yeah.
It's been blinking for 30 years. What about us? Why do we use widgets? Is there going to be a lesson for people my age and older, for us who are not heavily technological, who don't have a heavy tech involvement and experience?
Yeah, that's a great question. Really good
question.
Where
is that class? I want to go.
That's
after
a great question.
After I go to my blog talk
Top
class
Radio
with Christy, Sweet. After I do that, then I'm going to go and take your class. Where is the widget box class?
That's a great idea. So what we're doing is, in fact, on Thursday, we're releasing a new version of our site. And
Thursday, write that down, everyone. Thursday, new version.
Exactly. And what we're going to be doing is we really want to make it a lot easier for people to use our technology. And so we're not big enough to offer a lot of classes. We don't travel around the country. We only have one office. But what we're going to try to do is do really good screenshots and demos and use – not documents you have to go read, but just really simple things to watch to say, here's how you want to do what we're trying to allow you to do. And so our
little
goal...
Little tutorial videos?
Exactly. Our goal is to be...
And where
things.
Will this be? Will that be on widgetbox.com?
It will. It will. So
okay, we're coming. And is it going to say lessons this way?
Yeah, we will make it pretty easy for you to find it. So our goal is to do three things. To make it fun, to make it really easy, and to make it smart and relevant for your life. That's our goal. And so the fun part, I think, is there already. The easy part is not there. We can do a lot better. I think the whole technology industry can do a lot better about making things easier. And so we're going to keep working on that. And what we hope to do is by using screencasts and easy demos to follow, avoid lengthy documentation, we want to start breaking down some of these frictions. And if we don't do a good job, you have to call and tell us.
Oh, of course we would. I mean, everyone would.
Exactly.
Now, and also I wanted to give some credit to Warren, who had written that lovely song that we heard at the opening, Lady by the Sea, Warren Michaels. And I just wanted to mention that and take a moment to mention Blog Talk Radio. This is Syndicated News, and tonight we're talking to Will Price. He's the CEO of WidgetBox. And he's going to fill us in on all of the things that we've been wanting to know and everything you've asked me as well that I don't know about. My next question, what's a custom gallery by WidgetBox? What is that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So on May 23rd of last year, 2007, Facebook launched a program called F8. And what F8 was it allowed...
F the letter, 8 the number, F as in Frank, and the number 8?
Yeah, exactly. Frank 8. Yeah, F8. And what it allowed basically was any third party, people who do not work for Facebook, to build applications that Facebook users could use. And within literally a few months, there were thousands and thousands of these applications that people had written that Facebook users now could use on their Facebook site. And it's fascinating. The concept behind this is probably best expressed by a guy named Bill Joy, who was the founder of Sun. And he said that innovation happens elsewhere. So good ideas happen outside your company. And so the concept is, how, as a company, do you allow that innovation to benefit you? And so what Facebook decided was, let's offer an open platform. Anyone who's got a good idea for an application that would be interesting can write it, put it inside of Facebook, and then the users will decide if it's interesting or not. And so they brilliantly leveraged the users' demand for choice with a supply of third-party content. So now, if you're Facebook, which is the second largest social network in the world, you can afford to ask people to come to your platform and write applications for it. But if you're not of that size, the odds of developers coming and doing that work is relatively low.
Mm-hmm.
Custom galleries from WidgetBox enable any website, blog, or social network to offer their users that Facebook F8 experience. The experience of having tens of thousands of applications that their users will find utility and really joy with without having to build them themselves. So it's like an instant, you turn it on, you put our product in, you instantly are able to offer your users thousands and thousands of applications that will make their user experience richer, make them stickier in terms of staying on your site, and also, importantly, we offer you a revenue model with that as well, because some of those widgets are actually paid widgets by brands, so when every time they get used, there's a payment associated with them, and we also enable advertising in the widgets as well. So what we're seeing on the, around the web is a recognition that if you are a blog platform, a social network, and you guys are a blog platform, so blog platform or social network or a website builder, your mm-hmm. users have an expectation that there'll be lots of applications that they can use to add to their experience. You have to recognize that you're not going to build all those yourself, so how do you go get them? If you come to Widgetbox, Widgetbox can easily allow you to offer all of our application gallery to your users in a customized way, and literally the integration, somewhat more complicated than adding a widget, but not much more so. Very simple integration allows you to do that. So we've got partners now like Freewebs and Synthesite and WebJam and TypePad and others who are using Widgetbox's custom galleries mm-hmm. to allow their users access to this third-party application content, and in doing so, meeting the competitive ante that was set in the industry by Facebook over a year ago. And so it's a way for the non-Facebooks of the world to offer a Facebook-like experience to their users through us.
That's excellent. I've also heard this expression. I hear it all the time, and I see it. It's written here and there. It's all, it was all over your site as well. Sticky. What does sticky
yeah.
mean?
Sticky.
You know, we're older. We don't know what this means.
Yeah, no problem. So
we just thought the word cool was fantastic, and now that's old hat. Now everything is dog. And,
yeah.
You know, we can't keep up. What is sticky?
Yeah, it's hard to keep up. Sticky just means if you have a website
mm-hmm.
and you want to make – stickiness means how loyal are your users. So when someone comes to your site, when will they come back? So it's like it's basically another way of saying customer loyalty. And,
mm-hmm.
and one of the reasons that's so important is that a lot of sites on the web today make their money through advertising.
Of course.
Exactly. So, like, say, you know, another way to think about it would be if you're a subscriber to the New York Times, if the New York Times is sticky, it's one that when your subscription runs out, you're going to renew.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing is true on a website. If the website's engaging, if it meets your needs, the odds of you coming back the next day, the frequency of visit, the intensity of the visit, the duration of the visit, all that can be defined, you know, in terms of stickiness. Like, do they come back once a month, once a week, once a day? When they come back, do they stay for 10 seconds, 5 minutes, 10 minutes? And the sites that are able to keep their users most informed, most satisfied, and most loyal are
yeah.
the ones that can start learning more about their users and then monetize those users through advertising that's not obnoxious or bad, but useful and relevant to the audience that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that people have found is that if you have a lot of application content on your site, if you have widgets that people can configure and customize that are germane to their interests, the odds are that your page now has become a little bit more prone to loyalty, a little bit more sticky. It's more likely that person's going to come back tomorrow and the day after and the day after. And in a world where literally millions of websites are made every year, it gets harder and harder to win that battle for loyalty. And so whatever you can do to make your site more loyal, more engaging, more convenient, with more, richer utility, you should think about. And what Widgetbox allows you to do is to add a widget gallery to your site without paying us anything, simple technology integration. You need to have some level of technology expertise, as I said, but nothing too advanced. And then all of a sudden
– nothing extreme.
Nothing extreme. No, if you can, anyone who can do simple HTML work can work with us. And so custom galleries are a way that you can meet your users' demand for application content and choice,
mm-hmm.
and also your business objectives of a sticky user experience and a revenue model. And you wrapped that all up, and it's been pretty compelling. So we probably have 50 to 100 people a week ask us to add a custom gallery.
That often?
Yeah, it's a very popular product, and it's one that we're going to continue to really work on to make it the best place to go to get content and the
mm-hmm.
easiest place to go to add content to your site. So our current model would be like, for example, Blog Talk Radio itself would maybe use a custom gallery for its radio hosts. But our goal eventually is to make it so easy that anyone with a web page could use it and without really needing to know any technology. So that's kind of where we're going.
I would love that. And I wanted to know, Blog Talk Radio, I mean, here we are, thousands of websites, all blogs. We have thousands and thousands of blogs. I wanted to know, can I have a widget that takes me right to Widget Box so that I don't even have to go to Widget Box? I could just go and get the stuff that I need from there?
Yeah, that's exactly
Is
what
that
we're going to do.
That's
exactly what we're talking about. It's exactly right. So you would be able to be on Blog Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be able to say, I want this widget, and add it to your page in Blog Talk Radio without ever leaving Blog Talk Radio. That's exactly right.
I want that luxury widget.
Yeah.
My client, my audience likes that. They love their luxuries. They're creatures of comfort.
Yeah.
They like their classical music.
Yeah.
They love to, you know, get together with organizations that they've been working with for years, work a lot in philanthropy. In fact, one of the you know, the small banners that we're carrying for, I would say, a group that is trying to make travel philanthropic is Crooked Trail. And they're on our website. You can go see them. They try to build all sorts of programs for youngsters to travel all over the world. And they're helping build water systems. They're helping build homes. They're doing all sorts of very serious work like that. I'd like to have widgets for them so that they don't have to run around. And they can get the people to go ahead and donate right directly from other websites without even having to go. They just click their I would like widgets that have instant donation for charity groups. Like Crooked Trail is a perfect example. I would like that.
Yeah. No, I think that's really cool. I mean, I just went to Google and searched for classical music widget, and the first result is a Widget Box widget, and it's a classical music widget, a classical music video widget, and it's put up there by a company called FanPop, and it says, watch classical music videos, interviews, previews, clips, and fan information. Your home for everything classical music. So in the first one is a 7-year-old violinist, playing probably playing some Mozart or something. So it's and then there's Handel's Dead March and Vanessa May, the brilliant violinist, violin player, and Giuseppe Tartini. So the Queen Symphony. There's all kinds of cool stuff in here. So the
so
short
it would
answer
be right
is,
there. We wouldn't have to go search and find it. It would be there all the time.
That's what Custom Gallery is. Exactly right. It's
Custom Gallery. Then really is it's a widget library. Really. It's a
it
library.
Is. You're much, yeah, exactly. I should hire you as my marketing person.
Oh, how sweet.
That's exactly
well, that,
what
that's,
it is.
That's not funny, actually. I can market in English or Spanish.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that, no, you said it right. It's a library of widgets. And then what we want to be able to do is instead of having to go across town to go to the library, you know, the library will be in your house, essentially. You just pick whatever you want, add it to your wall. And it's there. So, yeah, that's exactly right. So what we want to do a better job of is knowing what, like, for example, you've kind of expressed to me a little bit about some of your audience. You know, they're really interested in travel. They're interested in philanthropy.
They're interested in travel. They're interested in luxury travel. They want to be taken by the hand. They want to have the very finest hotel room when they go to Bellagio. They want to have the very finest hotel room or inn when they go to Fisher Island in Florida.
Yeah,
when
you're right.
When they go to Germany, in Berlin, they want to... you know, Kufusterdam, they don't want the off-street. They want the elegant boulevard. They want the very best of everything all the time.
They want the best, exactly right. So what
they
we
don't
need
want,
to do,
you know, regular caviar. They want the latest that someone found in this place that this person put together that no one's heard of. That's the one they want.
Right, exactly right. And so what we want to be able to do as we get better as a company is allow people to configure the widget experiences that are relevant to their audience. And then then rather than you make your audience come to Widget Box to get it, it should be available directly in your site itself.
That's exactly what I want. I don't want them to have to go anywhere. I want them to be able to sit there and relax. And I know what they'll do. They won't come. They'll send their maid or their secretary to go find the information and take it back. And they tell me and laugh in my face about it. That's exactly what they do.
That's funny.
And I wanted to ask you also, again, for people our age, are they going to be making any widget boxes that have to that deal with seniors, that deal with people who are more private and they just want private information, like, for instance, financial information?
Are there
financial widgets?
Yeah, there are. So we have widgets that allow you to follow. Yeah, we have a whole bunch. So if you have Forbes is one of our customers, and Forbes has a whole set of widgets they've built for luxury travel. In fact, like Forbes travel widget is a good one. Forbes, we have, let me see if I can pull up.
Well, you know what I'll be doing this evening, eh?
Yeah, so we have Forbes
we
lifestyle.
We all know, go getting those widgets, that's right.
Yes, we have Forbes breaking news, Forbes top list, Forbes technology, Forbes business, Forbes lifestyle, Forbes entrepreneurs. So we have a lot of cool Forbes widgets. And so, yeah, there really is a lot of that type of content available for people to get access to as well.
That's excellent. Do you have a sports widget?
Oh,
Or millions?
We have thousands of them, yeah. We do.
Really?
So if you like the Yankees, you like the Red Sox, you like whoever you like, you know, you can find a widget. We got one widget that tells you, you click on a logo of a baseball team and it'll tell you what the weather is that day in the city so you know whether the game's going to be on. We have widgets that'll tell you what the score is at that moment. All kinds of stuff. So, yeah, sports is huge on the Internet and it's huge in WidgetBox.
It's so big that they kept asking us for sports information, so we actually went and got ourselves a sportscaster, Hunter.
Hunter,
our sportscaster. Yeah, he's going to start sometime this week, 5 minutes a week. He's going to share the sports with us. The thing is, he can't. He has to make sure he does all his homework first before he can render the sportscast.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
But he'll be joining us, and also we have she's very, very involved in fine food, and she's going to start a page with us called, I think it was Lifestyle or Fine Living, or I'm sure she's already decided, but we can't wait to have her join us, and that's going to be lovely too. Now,
Okay.
I wanted to know about ad campaigns.
Yes.
What is a widget-based ad campaign? How does that work? I'm very curious about that. That interests me tremendously.
Yeah, that's a great, great question.
Because many of my clients still have companies, and they have total control of how the companies run. Even though a lot of them are retiring, they still have their hands in the management end of business. And that's the question that they had: what's innovative about an ad campaign using the widget? How does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. So currently, all of WidgetBox is a free service. However, we do provide premium services. The paid service right now that we're currently pushing is what's called a cost per install model. So when you subscribe to a widget, that's considered an installation.
Okay.
So if you added a widget, say for example you were a blogger and you added one of the widgets from WidgetBox to your blog, that for our purposes that's called an installation.
Okay.
Advertisers in the cost per install model, it's whereby advertisers create widgets. And they pay WidgetBox for the promotion and distribution of the widget. For example, if you wanted to run a widget campaign, what would you do? First, you would need to build your widget, and you'd presumably build that widget to speak to your brand promise or the value proposition for your product or something. It would be an ad. Once built, however, the challenge becomes, how do you promote and distribute that? How do people find it? How do they know about it? How does it get marketed? And so WidgetBox, you know, as the largest consumer web widget provider, what we can allow to do is we can help you connect your content to your target audience. And so we can help drive the adoption of your widget across the web. And the way people measure that is they measure it in terms of the number of installations that widget receives on different web pages, the number of unique visitors that see and engage with those widgets, and the number of impressions, the number of times that widget gets served. And so with a combination between installations, uniques, and impressions, works up to an ad campaign. So right now we have, for just as an example, we have an Intel campaign running on our site right now, which is a photo contest widget, and you can upload photos of yourself and try to win an Intel-powered laptop. And we have a couple of Walmart widgets on our site right now.
What's Walmart doing? That's interesting.
Yeah, Walmart has two. One is a ice cream
what
recipe widget. One's an ice cream recipe widget and allows you to plan a summer party. So you can, within the widget, you can create an invite list of people you want to invite to your party. You can find out what the weather's going to be, and you can find recipes that you want to use. Both are, one's a dessert-oriented widget, and the other one's more of a barbecue widget, like meat recipes and things like that. And again, the reason they're doing that is because you're probably not going to Walmart.com. You're probably hanging out on Blog Talk Radio or some other place. But if you're hanging out here now,
yes.
Exactly. So if you're on that, if you're on the Blog Talk Radio site, you know Walmart wants to see you there, and they want to tell you about what they're doing, and Intel wants to tell you about what they're doing. So that's one. Second concept is that we also have very, very popular widgets. So one of our most popular widgets is, it's kind of interesting. If you're a parent, you'd kind of get a kick out of this. You put in your due date into the widget, and it shows you the fetus growing over the 9 months, different sizes across time. And tons of moms-to-be love this widget. They put it by the million on their pages. And so every day you can log on if you're at work, or your mom can log on. You can see, you know, you're in week 27 and where and it tells you what's going on.
At week 27. Oh, that is beautiful.
Yeah, and so that's a as I said, millions of people use that thing. Now, so imagine you're Procter & Gamble and you own, you want to reach expectant mothers. Pretty cool way to reach them. So you can sponsor widgets like that are popular, that are relevant to a certain demographic that you want to target. And the last way that a widget campaign would work would be to say there's a widget that someone's written, or it's about soccer, and you're Nike and you want to reach people who are passionate about soccer. Someone has a website on the web. That tells you one thing about them. But if they have the website on the web, and on that website they've added a soccer widget, that tells you a lot. This is a pretty savvy technology person who's got a widget that's related to your product, soccer in this instance. And so
okay,
Nike
now,
wants.
Now let's slow it down here a moment. Now,
sure.
People my age and older, we
yeah.
want all that nonsense.
Yeah.
We don't want to learn how to make it. We don't
yeah.
want to learn how to get it. We want to push a button and have it be there. Or we want to pay some kid to do it. That's
yeah.
how we, as my son would say, that's how we roll around here.
Yeah. That's how you roll. Yeah. Yeah. No, I understand.
Is there a possibility that I guess, widget kids somewhere? Or like they came up with this wonderful, the computer store, they came up with the Geek Squad.
The Geek Squad, yeah.
That became a real entity.
Oh, it's awesome, yeah. Best Buy did
and
great
now,
with
is
that.
There is there going to be a widget kid that's going to be somewhere?
I'll tell
Quick,
you what.
Go register that domain name quickly.
Widget kid, yeah, I like that. You know, I'll tell you one thing that's kind of cool. I have in my office right now, I got an 18-year-old who's doing a mm-hmm. summer internship, who is just an expert in what we do. And so there's no question, and I've got another couple of people from New Zealand, believe it or not, that are interns this summer, and they have a – you're right. They have a real fluency with this type of stuff. But our mission is to not require you to be a technology expert to use our stuff or get benefit from it. So we will do whatever we can to make it as easy as possible. So you won't. But if you get stuck, you can always ask your son. But our goal is to make sure you don't have to ask him.
I want to be independent. I don't want to have to ask anyone to teach
yeah.
me how to use a widget.
I don't blame you.
To use HTML, I finally had to give in and surrender and ask for help and pay people to teach me how to use simple HTML. I mean, this was maybe, 25, 30 years ago. And then finally I got a job. It was very odd. I was promoted to a job in the computing center, Taylor Hall, River Campus, University of Rochester. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me because in order to work in that department, you had to take all of their courses, which is where I got a great base for my understanding of technology. And of course, what I learned then in '85 is useless now, of course, as technology is constantly moving and changing.
Yeah.
But
really
I want to be independent, and so do people my age. We want to be able to go somewhere, even if it be, a widget kid, and say, I want this, this, and this, and have it done.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Is that possible?
Like I said before, we want it to be. I think the industry, not just Widget Box, but many people in the industry have a challenge with getting it as easy as possible, but that's definitely our goal. That's definitely our goal. So we hope to meet that challenge, and when we build products, we focus on ease of use, simplicity. We do not want to be building products for geeks. Nothing wrong with people who know a lot about technology, but that's not our goal. Our goal is to build technology that can be used by millions.
The public, by everyone.
By everybody, exactly.
Okay, now I did also notice that I saw some widgets, and they were some were Dutch and some were Japanese, which I can't read either language, but I was impressed that they were there at all.
Yeah.
Now, what's going to happen with these ad campaigns? How are you going to work the language? Because I'm assuming lots of other manufacturers are going to use widgets to produce, you know, to move their products about. I'm, in fact, working on companies and working with companies that are bringing product in from China. And that's the big world, global trader now that
right.
we have to deal with. And there's no question about it. There's no way you're not going around it. You're not going to go past it. You are going to, if you're going to be in business, you're going to work with China. That's all there is to it. I want to know if I can have Chinese based information that's going to be somehow translated and reach my American market, my English speaking audience and my Spanish speaking audience as well. Is that a possibility?
It certainly is. And so one of the great things about the internet is that you know where the traffic's coming from. So every time a browser loads a widget in it, that's coming from our widget. We know what browser you're using. We know if you're using Internet Explorer, Firefox, or Safari. We know what language you're using within that, and whether you're using English, Italian, or Spanish. And we
so
know
if
what
I have a widget on my web page, and
right.
My web page is English.
Right.
And you have an ad campaign, and you're going to send me the commercial. Will it come in English? Will it come to my site in English?
Yeah, it would, but for example, what happens if you have it, you know, you may have built the web page and you may speak English, but what happens if you have a visitor from Israel, you know, that, you know, or you have a visitor from Italy or from Spain. So what we are trying to do is when that visitor from Spain, for example, hits your site, we would know that, and we would make sure the widget, if we had inventory, we would make sure they had a Spanish widget.
You're going to make sure, I'm sure, for any ad campaign that you have all languages, because this is the if we're talking business, we're talking global. We're not talking about our neighborhood. We're not talking about our country anymore. If you're going to sell anything, anyone can show up from any country on your website and want to buy the product.
That's exactly right.
The whole world. In Spanish, we say, el mundo es un pañuelo, meaning the world is just for a handkerchief. It's that small.
El mundo
es un pañuelo. Yes.
Yes,
I notice when I see people coming to buy on when I had the web-based businesses, people would ask me questions in languages I couldn't answer, and I realized, you know, the world is small and our trade is totally different than it was, say, in the 70s and 80s.
No, you're so right.
So now in Israel, now that you mention it, if it's an Israeli website, are you going to know is it going to be Hebrew or Yiddish or what?
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, what we want to get to is knowing what browser, what language, and what IP, what geography the traffic's coming from, and
we would
try to make the appropriate language request. So, you know, in this case, Hebrew or something like that. Exactly right.
That makes all the difference in the world. And in the Middle East now, do you have Arab widgets?
We do have some, actually,
You have to have Arab language widgets because that's a huge market. The United Arab Emirates sometimes in a week spends more than Chicago spends, you know, in a month. So
no,
that's
you're right.
Important.
No, it is. And as I said before, you know, for a company that has no employees outside of the United States, we've already had over 190 countries just in the last 30 days. Send internet traffic to our site. So we are fully operating in a global world, and already more than half of our internet users, our users, are not in the United States. So we have
Can
to be
you
great.
Imagine that? Can you
yeah.
imagine that?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It blows me away. It's cool. I can go down and I can see every country that has sent us traffic, and it's pretty neat. It's one of the most, I think, one of the most fun things about working in the consumer internet space today is that when you put a product out and you release it, it gets used by millions of people, but not only millions of people in hundreds and thousands of different places. It's really neat.
I want to be able to, if I did an ad campaign, I want to be able to have that language ability so that when that widget gets to my customer, depending on the language that he's got, he or she has on their website, that it will translate immediately to the language that they're using. I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Very cool.
We're not really working in today. We're working in the future, aren't we?
We got a plan for the future, right?
I got a plan for the future. Well, if you look at my Blog Talk webpage, you notice that all of the entire month of August is up there. I'm always planning for the future.
No, it's good.
And that's a wonderful, I would say, compliment to the guests that we have planned to have visit us. But we want to make sure that they're committed, and we want to make sure that we find out everything we can about them so that, as I said, you know, syndicated news on Blog Talk Radio, we're not really a debate program. We're not a debate argumentative forum. We're a place where a company has an opportunity to spell out what they're doing and talk about their product and their services without interruption, without competition, and without having any interference, except, of course, for me when I have to say we're on Blog Talk Radio, syndicated news with Will Price. We're talking about widgets. But other than that, you don't have anyone interfering with the flow of what you're saying, because too often when a person such as yourself, you're trying to explain your company, there are too many interruptions and too many other people wanting to say, yeah, well, me too, and I did this, and I did. We don't need that. We need to hear everyone one at a time with respect and courtesy and patience so that they can express themselves, and then we really get to know what the product is. And the result, when you can hear a person speak on their product and their service, is that the audience will say, you know what, I need that. I need that. I finally got to hear it well said and properly explained rather than in a 30-second soundbite.
That's why
I have you here tonight.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, I've listened to enough interviews on the radio and television to know it's a pleasure to get the opportunity to present our company and our story and for the kind of questions you've asked. It's great. We really appreciate it.
Without interference or competition, that makes all the difference in the world. Then you can really tell us what a widget is. Tonight, I think we've learned it's been a very educational program, because we now know how to use it, and we're going to go get, you know, we're going to find widget kids, and we're going to be at your show, at your website Thursday night when you launch that new website. We're going to be there. We want to see. Hey, this is important.
Oh, that's awesome.
This Thursday of this week?
It is, yeah, a couple days from now. Exactly right.
The 7th.
Yep.
That's August the 7th. What time do you launch this?
Generally it'll be about 8 p.m. Eastern, so about 5 p.m. Pacific. And what's really neat about building software for your listeners and the internet.
We'll be there, believe me. We'll be there.
Well, that's good. And I will follow up with you independently just to send you some emails by email, just so you have them with widgets that I think would be interesting to you based on our discussion today. So.
Yeah, I mean, all the many, many things we can do. Blog Talk. I even said to people when I was talking to them about the fact that you were coming to our show, I look at all that we do at Blog Talk Radio, and I had to, like everybody else, I had to go study what this is. You know, Blog Talk Radio, I had to go study it and learn it properly and such. And I look at Widget Box, and I was thinking, what a beautiful marriage. We should marry these two companies. Blog Talk, all the other blogs worldwide, and widgets. Don't you see it? I mean, it goes hand in glove. It's just beautiful.
I totally agree. It's a big fit, and it's a big emphasis of ours to work with blog platforms. And, you know, one of the things I'd love to certainly do would be to work a lot more closely with you guys on your mission, because I do think there's a lot of synergy between the two things, for sure.
Oh, there's no question. And after the show, we're going to talk about just that. Don't you worry. And then I'll be sending you over to Amanda in New York. Now tell me, is anybody making money off widgets? Tell me about that.
Yes. So
tell us about that, because we want to know if there's a revenue stream here. I love what they call dormant, quiet revenue stream, where you wake up in the morning and you see 6 sales. I love that. Tell me, how can we make money off of these widgets?
Yeah, of course. So right now, the...
Forgive me, I'm from New York. It's in me. I want to know. I grew up, you know, in the garment district. We can't help it. We want to know right away. Where can I make a dollar on this?
Yeah, of course.
Tell us.
Sure. So right now, widgets are mostly funded by advertisers, and these are typically the people who buy the banner ads. These are the big brands and the interactive agencies on the web. And so this is if you think about the choices of an online marketer today, you can buy paid search, you can buy banner ads, you can buy rich media like online video advertising, you can buy email marketing, and now you can buy widgets. That's another category. In aggregate, the total online advertising spend in the United States is roughly about $25 billion.
Wait. Let me sit down. Say that again slowly.
The total. Including Google, Yahoo, all the traditional online advertising mechanisms, in aggregate, it adds up to about $25 billion, which seems like a big number, but it's actually only 7% of all the advertising spend on the web. All the advertising spend in the United States. So if $25 billion spent on the Internet, roughly $270 billion is spent on television, on cable, radio, and newspaper, and billboard.
Mm.
So the reason that Internet stocks have been so hot for such a long time, that there's so much excitement about the online space from an investor perspective, is that in the United States today, about 21% of media is consumed on the Internet, but only 7% of the advertising is spent on the Internet. And so there's a big – I guess what I'm trying to say is that advertisers –
That's a big disconnect, isn't it?
It's a huge disconnect. And so what people are buying – local newspapers when they should be buying Blog Talk Radio, you know, or they're buying local radio when they should be buying Blog Talk Radio. They're buying local television affiliates when they should be buying Google, Yahoo, and other mechanisms for advertising. And the simple reason why is that when you do a radio ad on traditionally, you don't know if anyone's ever listened to it. But if you do a radio ad buy on the Internet radio, you know how many people listen to it and where they are and how long they listen to the show, and you can learn a lot more about your audience. And so widgets are a minuscule, and I mean this, minuscule part of the online ad market today. We are, as an industry, about 40...
But you're brand new. You're minuscule, but you're brand new. Watch what happens within the next 5 years. Watch
exactly.
what happens.
So our mission is to expand the use of widget advertising so that we become a meaningful percentage of the total spend in the Internet on space. And so... it's estimated that today about $40 million is spent on widget advertising. That equates to about 0.16% of the total that's spent on Internet advertising. So my goal as, you know, CEO of Widgetbox and part of this industry is to try to get that to, you know, 4-6% of the total industry. You know, at that point you're talking about, you know, you're getting close to $1 billion in spend. So that's going to be really exciting for us if we can really help grow the relevance of this medium for advertisers and attract more dollars into our space. So it's very early, as you said. We're barely a year into this industry right now. It's a small amount of money, but it's part
You've
of a much...
You've just begun. You've only just begun.
We've just begun, and so we need to do there more. So, yeah.
Well, don't worry. After the show, I have some ideas for you. I do.
Cool.
And practical knowledge ideas, too. I'm not going to talk to you about anything ethereal. I'm going to tell you about stuff that I know works because it's worked for me for 20 years.
Oh, that's great. Excellent.
Now, the direction. Tell me, what direction is Widgetbox taking in business? What are you guys headed for in 5 years, 10 years? Where are you headed?
Yeah, that's a great question.
You only have people in the U.S. I mean, I see you with an office in Hong Kong. I see you with an office in Milan. You're going to have one in Venezuela or Argentina. You definitely have to have one in Manhattan. There's no doubt.
Yeah,
you're
no,
not in Manhattan. You know, you're not.
You know
living.
Where, right? Yeah, I still live in New York, so I can see that.
Can anyone tell I'm from New York City?
Yeah, we're in a Widgetbox. Is it going to continue to grow a sales force and be relevant to advertisers who are looking to take advantage of everything we've described? And to your point, you're absolutely right. The audience is global, and the advertising will be global. And so You know, Widgetbox is going to have to think about how to take on that challenge. Our first focus.
The biggest trading partner we have right now, we're looking at China. We can't get away from it. I would say to you, make sure you get an office in Hong Kong. I know exactly where you can get office space, too. I would recommend you go to Domain Avenue and talk to Richard Raymond Chang at Domain Avenue and talk to him about setting up an office out there. That's where Domain Avenue, the company that I sold to Wyeth Industries, is Wyeth Group.
Oh, okay.
And start moving into a place where, we're already known.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And you already have partners and things in place, so you don't have to start from scratch and set up everything yourself and reinvent the wheel.
No,
go
you're
to
right.
people who are already in business and a good, solid position there that can help you.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Speaking
of which, I should also tell you, and this is very important, because, we're just finding these things out so quickly. There's a wonderful New York City law firm that got together just for this purpose, and it's the most unusual thing. We're going to have them. We're trying to get them booked onto our show. They are four American attorneys, New York City attorneys, East Coast, and four Chinese attorneys who have passed the bar in China, and then they've come to the United States, and they've been admitted to the bars here in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. I forget which states. But they're all in New York, this office. It's called Toscano Wang. And they have, imagine if you want to do any type of business, and instead of trying to find out about the legalities and what direction to take to see if you can get a lawyer in China and a lawyer in New York, these are international business lawyers, one law firm that just, and they're new. So they're ready for technology and things of this nature. So just in case you need one, I just gave you their name. And they're in the book.
Thank you very much.
They're in the book.
I lived in Asia for 5 years, and I'm a big believer
Hart, wait a minute. You don't throw something at us like that and walk away, young man. What did you say? You lived in Asia?
Yeah. I
where?
I lived in Hong Kong and Singapore, and I studied Mandarin at Harvard as an undergraduate, and then went to work and spent a lot of time working in Asia. My first jobs were there, and so Hey, I spent a lot of time there, and obviously very
wonderful.
Impressed by what's going on. So,
I think you're brilliant, you have to show us something else. We didn't know that about you. That is fantastic. Mandarin.
So do you
speak Mandarin?
I do speak a little Mandarin. Yes, yeah.
This is love. This is just too good. When things are meant to happen, and some of us call it bechert, some of us call it coincidence, some of us call it a blessing, but things just kind of gel this way. You just happen to speak Mandarin. You couldn't get more fortunate than this evening. This is wonderful. We have so much more to talk about. Blog Talk. I see Blog Talk in China, and I see you in China. Oh, this is lovely. This is lovely.
Yeah.
What were you doing in Hong Kong, by the way? Who were you working for then?
My first job was with Morgan Stanley. And
started with one of the best.
I started out on 50th and 6th in your fair city. And,
I wonder how many times we walked past each other. I was working at McKinsey Management Company, New York office on 52nd.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah. No,
Tower,
Yeah, and I know exactly where that is. Great, great business. McKinsey's a wonderful business. So that was my first job, and they knew I studied Mandarin, and they were at this was early in the 1990s, and they were looking for people who are interested in going out and working in Asia. They were just starting to build out their Asian business, and it was a great opportunity as a young person to go out there and learn a lot about, just about doing business, working with a great firm.
What a wonderful experience. How old were you when you were there?
I was about 22 when I first got there.
Oh, gosh.
But it was really one of the cool things about it was I got to work all throughout the ASEAN region when I was in Singapore, so I spent a lot of time in Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia, the Philippines, and then off in India and Australia as well. So it was a great first job, really good first job.
What a wonderful experience to start your professional career with.
Yeah.
Well, Morgan Stanley is a great organization.
Yes, they are. I have a lot of respect.
And the training, you can't ask for better training than that.
No. At the time, it was a lot of work, but I look back on it, and I'm extremely glad I did it. So.
Now, you personally...
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, what are your favorite widgets?
Okay, that's really great. So
take your time, because we have our pencils out. We're writing this down. This is like a classroom sometimes. We're here to learn, and
yeah.
We grab our pencils and we make notes.
Yeah, no, of course. My favorite widgets are I have a couple. My brother is a musician, a great musician.
I read about that, yes.
Yeah, and so one of the things I love to do is I love to make widgets.
What does he play again? Is it guitar?
Yeah, exactly. So his name is Rich Price, and he used to be on Geffen and RCA Records. And so one of the cool things about widgets is it allows anyone.
And your brother is going to be appearing on Blog Talk Radio Syndicated News when?
I think anytime he gets asked, I think. So.
And you're going to give me his cell phone number?
I certainly can, yeah. I'll give it
excellent.
If you want.
Oh, this is nothing but cooperation this evening. I feel like a hippie. This is wonderful.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so for me, my favorite widgets are ones that I get to build. And so I have a couple. I love to do a couple things. One is I love to fly fish. And so I built a Flickr widget. And if you can search Flickr widgets on Google and you can find it.
I know this is odd, but I'm from Manhattan, and I know how to fly fish.
Oh, that's awesome. So
I know how to fish.
So as I sit in my office.
I worm my own hooks.
Oh,
I
good
use
for you.
I crawdads. I scale my own fish. I gut them, and then I take the guts. I put them in a baggie, and I throw them in the freezer for the next day. That's my chum.
You're awesome,
and I'm
yeah.
from And I'm from New York City. And let me tell you, I shock people. I went to Fire Island, and I didn't have really good bait, and I used Cheetos.
Yeah.
And I got my fish, and we had dinner that night. And the men were quite impressed.
You are impressed.
So anyway, fly fishing. What else?
So it's a widget that basically pulls
uh-huh.
down all the pictures from Flickr that are of people fly fishing, and I really like that. I like making widgets for my brother. And the last one thing I'll tell you is I'm a huge soccer nut, and my big passion is English soccer, the English Premier League. And so there's a variety of widgets on
widget
box. Oh,
Will, but it's so violent.
No,
so
it used
exciting
to be violent.
And so violent.
It used to be bad. It really did used to be bad, but now it's getting a lot
it's
better.
It's better now, isn't it? It's
yeah,
smoother,
it,
yeah.
You can take your kids to a game now and not worry about them, I think. So those are my favorites. So I would say.
So, Will, you put the widget in, and the widget electronically will go searching for soccer photos itself?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, you just say you can tag it. You can say, give me English Premier League goals, and it'll go out and find them, or give me fly fishing pictures, and it'll.
Now, wait a minute. So then this widget is working electronically the same way that crawling spiders do for search engine placement? Does
yeah,
it work
it's,
the same way?
Exactly. It's dynamically sending back to Flickr, which is a Yahoo photo service,
yes.
a request saying, like, every time the page loads, it's sending back that same query and saying, give me fly fishing pictures, give me fly fishing pictures, give me fly fishing pictures. And whatever's newest around fly fishing that's in there will come right down into the widget on your page, or you can say, you can make a YouTube widget and say, give me top soccer goals. And so every time the page loads, it's going to go back and pull in the latest top goals from YouTube. And so that's the cool thing
now,
about it.
Now, let's say I go to your site,
yeah.
and I want fly fishing, but I don't want to recreate the wheel. Can I go and copy-paste your widget and slap it on my page?
You can, and you can also say, I don't like fly fishing. I like violins, pictures of violins, or I like musical instruments, or I like puppies, or I like kids. And
mm-hmm.
Or I take them, or you can say, I've taken my own pictures, and they're on Flickr. And so here's my Flickr user ID. Now give me my pictures on this widget. That's exactly what you can do.
That is amazing. So what do you think? I mean, in 5 years, where are you guys going to be? I think this is going to go past just websites. I think it's going. I mean, if you stop and think about the idea, you're bringing all this into one location without having to go get it. Won't that
right.
work for even documents?
Yeah, it could. I mean, the next thing I think that's really big for us, and you talked about
somebody
China,
write that down in case we have to protect that idea. Someone, get a pencil.
Yeah, I remember you said earlier, you said, you know, Asia's going to be big, and a lot of people
yes.
around the world actually
Asia
get access.
Asia is big. Asia is going to be big in business with us, with
right.
the United States.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you
so,
going to do?
Yeah, so basically, right now we're talking about widgets that people use through computers, but the actual cell phones
mm-hmm.
are another way that people are going to get access to this content. So one of the next big opportunities will be for us to bring widgets to the iPhone and to Verizon phones and to all
really?
Kinds of phones like that, yeah, yeah. So that's a big part of us.
Are you going to come to Vonage?
Maybe.
Vonage is growing. It's all over the place. You can't leave them out.
Yeah.
They've got market share, and it's growing by the minute.
No, they're an impressive young company, no question about it.
And no, I don't have any stock in it either.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that because it's an obvious practical matter. It's not because I'm gaining anything by saying that. That's a reality. That's happening. Vonage is gaining.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're a sign of how good technology and good pricing can go a long way.
It sure can. So besides fly fishing and music and the photos, you know, what else do you have that you're using for business? Like, for instance, your blog site for business, what widgets are you using in your office applications for business purposes? Fly fishing's fun. That's you personally. What are you using for business to help you do better work?
Yeah, so...
What information are you collecting on your website, on your blog?
So on our blog, one of the important things when you're a consumer company is you want to know what people are saying about you. And so there's a new service that is out there that people are talking about called Twitter. And Twitter is a way of you can send text messages about things, and you can say, hey, I'm going to see Batman tonight, or I didn't like Batman. And other people who are interested in what you're up to will subscribe to your Twitter feed, it's called. So we subscribe to a feed that says anyone who mentions Widget Box, we get the feed, and so we can start listening to the chatter on the internet about our products and services. And so one of the widgets that's
important. Did you hear me? Because I've been mentioning you for weeks.
Yeah, so one of the things is, exactly, so we subscribe to, we have a widget that tells us all the pages that show up that Google finds about Widget Box, so we know every time. For example, when you put up that we were going to be on your show, we see that right away. If people are Twittering about us, we see that. And so we try to use widgets on our own internal websites as a way of monitoring how our users are talking about us, how the industry's talking about us, and whether they're saying good or bad things, and what we can do to fix any problems that we hear about through that type of monitoring. And it's not monitoring in the evil sense. I mean, this is just people writing stuff on their blogs, putting things out, writing stories about us on the and so we want, whenever that happens, we'd like to know about it so we can go read it and see.
Any company worth their salt needs that, don't they? Don't they need to know what's being said at all times?
I think so. It's definitely important.
Absolutely. Is that highly expensive for a corporation to get that Twitter what is that, a Twitter widget? Or a widget Twitter? How would you say it?
Yeah, it's a Twitter widget. Yeah, it's unfortunately, the funny thing on the web is everything is free. So, no, it's not expensive at all. You need to know that it exists, and then you can come to our site, actually, and you can make a Twitter widget on our site. So.
So are you going to – is there one – for instance, how would I use it? A legal application. So can a lawyer who's defending a client who does, they sell perfume and they've been using rabbits to test the perfume in the rabbit's eyes, and now people are talking about the fact that they're being mean to animals, animal rights get involved. So now can that attorney use the words that deal with that client – and they can collect at all times, see what's being said about their client? Because that would be a tremendous legal tool.
Yeah, that would be good. I don't know the legal specifics, but technically...
That's another idea, guys. Write it down.
It's definitely possible. No, it's more than possible. It's something you can do. And in fact, a lot of companies now are starting to take advantage of these types of tools and tracking what the buzz on the internet is about them and making sure that they're not blindsided by it, especially if there's, you know, some bad product feedback, like you put a product out that's no good. Like there was a great story of a user who wrote a blog post about Dell, calling it Dell Hell. And he's talking about how he bought
this stuff. I remember.
Yeah. And so you don't want to be the head of customer support at Dell and not know that's happening. I believe that it's becoming a core requirement and increasingly kind of state of the art for people to do that. So.
Well, I can't thank you enough for visiting with us here at Blog Talk Radio Syndicated News. It's been a joy to spend this evening with you. It's been so informative.
I hope I didn't speak too mumbly jumbly or technology, but I really enjoyed the chance.
You were wonderful.
To talk to you guys. And,
yeah.
And I really encourage everyone, don't just go to WidgetBox, but any site that's working with
What are you
widgets.
Saying? Of course just go to WidgetBox. What are you saying? Of course you go to WidgetBox.
It's
you don't go to the competitor. No.
The whole experience. Yeah, okay, do what she said.
The competitor is not here. WidgetBox is here. You go to you go to WidgetBox.
Go to WidgetBox and
if you need blog, of course, you go to Blog Talk Radio. You don't go to the competitor. You go to Blog Talk Radio. If you need widgets, you go to WidgetBox. You don't go to the competitor. know not to do that. You know, my audience wouldn't think of it.
You're right. I like it.
Anyway, we will close our show now. We're down to the last 4 seconds. This has been Will Price from WidgetBox. This is Ruthie DiTucci at Syndicated News, Blog Talk Radio. Thank you all for coming.
Bye.
Good night, everyone. And Will?
Yeah.
You're still there. Good. We're not streaming anymore. Now
okay,
I wanted
great.
To talk to you. I started long ago. I don't know if you found this out or not. I started long ago by competing with Network Solutions.
Oh, okay.
And
no,
what
I
did.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And at the time, they were a monopoly. So I fought heavily to stop that. And, of course, you know, they weren't too happy. But in any case, I built a domain name company, which I later now it's owned by Wyeth Group in Hong Kong. But I remember specifically that as I invested in, you know, positioning online, and,
mm-hmm.
and in those days, you used to use companies that would give you word positioning. You remember that. You used to buy words, 72 cents, 73 cents, and used to have those war words. You remember that.
Yeah, of course.
And I remember that when I spent, say, $1,500 or $2,000 in advertising, we would bring in, say, limited, $40,000, $50,000 a month. Now, you think, well, that's nothing, but you got to remember that I built my company in my kitchen. I didn't even have a desk when I started.
Right.
And when I would invest $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, I would bring in $70,000. So how much I invested in advertising was directly a trigger towards how much revenue we would bring in. And it was clear
mm-hmm.
how much we brought in would determine, you know, how much. And we would say how much should we spend on advertising, because the minute we lowered our advertising, we would lower our income dramatically.
Right.
And because, you know, I'm thrilled that you've done the things that you've done. By the way, we're off the air now. I'm thrilled that you've done this, and I want you to work with Blog Talk Radio. I want you to consider it. It would be a wonderful synergy.
Yeah, how would
You start with me. You start by buying advertising at Blog Talk Radio so that all these bloggers will buy your widgets, will just run over there and get those widgets. Don't
okay.
you think so?
Yeah, no, we're not currently doing a lot of advertising, but
I know, but you've got to,
yeah.
to, especially with the blog groups, especially with Blog Talk Radio, because we're the best, and we're going to be the best, and we're going to grow, and we're going to get big. I'm not
like
the only one. There's hundreds and thousands of people just like me on Blog Talk Radio.
Excellent.
And we're not going away. I mean, you saw my lineup. I didn't bother to just go get, you know, friends of mine and go gather people down the block. I went and I found the very best. Who's doing the best, the most innovative things? And I went and I found you.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do.
And there are many people, many Blog Talk hosts, just like me at Blog Talk Radio, that are going to do the same thing. We're going to grow, and we're going to be here. We're not going away.
Yeah.
We're going to get better and better, just like you. But
That's
there
good.
Should be a marriage between Blog Talk Radio and widgets. People from Blog Talk Radio should automatically be going to get those widgets, especially the kind that provide revenue. I want that.
No, I agree. What I'll do is I'll talk to some.
Alan Levy, call Alan Levy or call Amanda.
Okay.
Amanda's wonderful at that. She does all the advertising stuff and she gets it together. And when I look at my commercial that comes on automatically at my site, I want to see WidgetBox.
Yeah. Okay.
That's awesome. Going to be so classy, don't you think?
No, I really do. I really do. Cool.
And we'll be waiting for it. I'll be waiting for Widget. I want WidgetBox on my page, definitely.
right. Well, I got to go, but I really, really appreciate you putting me on.
Oh, you are such a love to come. And please give me that number to your brother, because I would love to have him on. That would be wonderful advertising for him, and we'll be playing his music.
Okay, let me give it. I can give it to you right now if you'd like. It's
oh, how lovely. Let me see. I'm all ready.
Okay.
I'm all on Twitter, as my friends would say. By the way, men and women in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, when we say Twitter, to us it means I'm all nervous. I'm all upset, you know. I'm all excited. That's what a Twitter. I'm all a Twitter. That's what it means to us. And now it means kind of gossip or the buzz on the web, huh?
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah, so his number is 917.
917.
2394. Excellent. Yeah, so he's a wonderful musician. I think you'd really enjoy it. His name's Rich Price is his name. Let me just make
Richard
sure that's
Price.
Because
we're gonna play four or five of his pieces, and we'll talk about them. But you know, and then we'll play one of his songs, and we'll talk to him again, and we'll play one of his songs. So he'll get wonderful radio play, but not only that, it'll stay on the internet long term, so that whenever he wants, people can listen to him again and again and again. He can also take the MP3 and throw it on YouTube.
That's great. So yeah, it's 917.
Lots of people are.
Let me just make sure I got this right. 917-327-2394.
Yes,
is that what I,
Rich
okay.
Price.
All right,
I can call him soon. You get going the evening. It's been wonderful spending the evening with you. I can't thank you enough for your courtesy and your grace.
Oh, don't worry. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.